Good morning. Why don't we pray, and then we will read our Bibles. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can be here together. Thank you for the sun that's shining. Thank you for everything you've given us this week. You have been very, very good to us. So we thank you. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus and the cross. And in this moment, we thank you that you speak to us when we read your word. So God, I pray that as we read this morning, that you would, through your word and through your spirit, touch our hearts and our minds and draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the name of the current series is The Stories Within the Story. And the idea is that we're going to look every week at a different Old Testament story. And as we do, what we're starting to see and what we'll see as we go through it is that every single one of them are connected to the big story, the epic story that God is telling in all of creation. They're not isolated incidents, David and Goliath and Noah and the Ark, and I think that's going to be next week. They're not isolated things that happen, but rather they're all part of this big epic story that God is telling. And more than that, they're all connected to Jesus, the hero of God's story. So let's go to our story today. Look at Genesis chapter 5. And actually, we're going to do some reading of the story instead of just telling the story. Unfortunately, our story starts today with a genealogy. And if you say, genie what? I know, it's not a word we use a lot because it's one of the most boring things ever created. It's a list of people's names and when they lived and how long they lived and who one of their children was. It's a boring thing to read. You read it sometimes because you have to because it's in the Bible, right? So you have to read through it. But, well, our story starts with a genealogy, so we'll be good people and we'll read the story from the beginning. Look at Matthew 5, verse 1. This is... Oh, wait, let me see where we're going to stop first before I start reading. Because initially we were going to read the whole chapter, and then I said, no, let's not do that. Okay, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam when God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, were 800 years. He had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived, after he fathered Enosh, 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Then Enosh, when Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Canaan. Enosh lived after he fathered Canaan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. And it continues. And you see what I mean. It's, if there ever was a time to check out of a sermon, it would be during the reading of a genealogy. It's like a little boring, at least for me. Maybe not. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but I find them a bit boring. But then, in the middle of this genealogy, we come upon a bit of a hidden treasure. Like, you know, when you were a kid and you would go to the dentist, hopefully you still go, but, you know, when you were a kid and you would go to the dentist, and what was the best part about going to the dentist other than leaving? When you were there, what was the best? Okay, for me growing up, it was probably maybe the same for you. I don't know. To me, I think it's the best thing ever. It's a treasure chest, isn't it? Actually, before the treasure chest, I went to the dental school for a while because when my dad was there, so that's where I had to go to get my teeth cleaned. And they would give you a certificate to go to McDonald's and get an ice cream cone after you got your teeth cleaned, which I found, even as a kid, wrong on so many levels. But I loved the ice cream, so I never complained about it, but it wasn't right. But anyway, that was better. But then after that, there was a treasure chest. There was that thing. Did your dentist have that where you would go in, or doctor, and you'd go in, and after they did the stuff to you, then you could stick your hands in, play around, you find a treasure. It was, you know, something sticky and plasticky, or, you know, you put together and it'd break right away. But it was the best part. It made you happy on the way home. In the middle of this genealogy, we come upon a treasure, a little better than a dental treasure chest. Look down at verse 21. And when Enoch had lived Enoch was the son of Jared, that's verse 19. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. See, in the middle of this genealogy and this people's names, it doesn't tell all their kids' names, just one of their children, whoever's going to continue the line, through the genealogy to the next person and the next person. There's like special emphasis put on this one guy. Say, why? Why? Well, just because he walked with God. He walked with God, and then at the end of his life, God took him. Didn't die. God took him. He took him to be with him. It's the neatest story. It makes the rest of the genealogy, even the parts we didn't read, worth reading, because that little bit, it's like, wow, this guy, he walked with God. And you see the words repeated in verse 22, after he walked with God, and then in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He walked with God. There's in that repetition, we see significance being put on that. That's the thing that was special about him. It distinguished him from all the other people in the genealogy. You could say maybe the other people in his line, his great-grandfathers and up the chain and down the chain, they didn't walk with God, but he did. And special note was made of that. What does it mean for it to say he walked with God? It leads you to believe, well, he spent time with God. He literally walked through life with God. Maybe like Adam and Eve in the garden. It's language that kind of goes back to that point. Remember when God came looking for them after they sinned, he came walking through the garden in the cool of the day. It gives you the sense of God would walk through the garden with Adam and Eve. God walked with Enoch. Enoch walked with God. He had intimacy and a relationship with God. He was a friend of God's. He knew God. That's what it means when it says he walked with God. And not just that, but and see, the thing about all these stories is they tell us a little snippet. David and I were talking about this last week afterwards. They tell us a part. They don't tell us his whole life. How many years did he live? Was it like 300 or 400 and some years? And all we know is that he walked with God. That there's other stuff that happened in his life, and we get a little glimpse of that. Look forward in the book of Judas. Almost at the very end of your Bible, go to Revelation and then go back one. Jude, I'm sorry. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, you say, well, it's not just, he specifies which one, so he's like, I'm not sure which Enoch. That was a pretty common name back then. I don't know if it was, maybe it was, but he says the seventh from Adam, so it's that one, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's what Enoch said, talking about ungodly people doing ungodly things and speaking in an ungodly way and saying God's going to come and judge. Those are the kind of things that we associate like with Ezekiel or I don't know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, the other prophets where we have their actual words that they wrote down. But you say seven generations after Adam, God needed a prophet to tell the people, because you're so ungodly, God's going to come and judge you. Well, yes, he did. And Enoch was that person. He walked with God and he represented God to the people around him. He knew God so well. He was so close to God that he could speak on God's behalf to the people who lived around him. That's incredible. He lived a life close to God, and he represented God. He spoke for God to people around him. And then, the part of the story that maybe just grabbed you, it grabbed me when I read it, the last verse, verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If you look at the rest of the genealogies around him, the ones we read, the ones we didn't, his life, his total life, was about half the length of the other people's lives. God took him. God snatched him out of,
of the world and took him to be with him. He took him to be with him for all of eternity. He walked with God during his life, and then after this life, he spent all of eternity with God. He was close to God in life, and then God said, I want you to be with me for forever, and so I'm taking you to be with even closer with me. That's incredible. Look at the book of Hebrews. Enoch makes another appearance later on. Hebrews chapter 11. Just one verse, but it says a lot. It says a lot about Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, verse, I went to chapter 5, doing it backwards today. Chapter 11, verse 5. There we go. By faith, or because of his faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So look at what's in there. He was commended as having pleased God. Why? Why was he pleasing to God? Wasn't it because, well, what else do we know about him? He walked with God. He walked with God, and that God liked that. That made God happy. That made God be happy with him. Imagine that. If you could say with unequivocally, God is happy with me. Enoch could say that. He could say that. Why? Because he walked with God. That's what God wanted. That's what God wanted from him. That's what God wants from all of us. He wants us to walk closely with him. I was thinking about that this week, and it occurred to me, maybe that's why God doesn't immediately answer our prayers. You know, you ever pray something for a long time, and you think, I don't think God's going to do this, but I'm going to keep praying, and if it's your will, please do this, but your will not mine, but please do this, and your will not mine. And then you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and all of a sudden, months later, God says yes, and it happens. And then, have you ever had the thought go through your mind, not in a questioning way, just a curious way, like, why didn't he do that back when I started asking? Because it would have been the same difference, except better, because it would have happened sooner. Why didn't that happen? Why didn't that person become a Christian 4 months ago? Why did 4 months have to go by? And then, so you wonder, why does God wait? And maybe, and this is total speculation, does not come from the text, other than the fact that I started thinking about this idea that he was commended as having pleased God. God was pleased with him. Why? Because he walked with God. What does God want from us? What makes God happy with us is when we walk with him. That's what God desires from us. So if that's the case, maybe, this is speculation, but maybe the reason God doesn't answer our prayers in the moment is so that we will seek him and walk closely with him and seek after him and say and be with him more, because he wants us to walk with him. I think he wants that even more than what we get or don't get in this life. And why did he walk with God? It's by faith, because he believed in God. Think about that. Enoch saw as much of God, as far as we know, as we see of God. He didn't see him. He didn't have a face-to-face, literally walking next to him in the garden like Adam and Eve. That ended in the garden, as far as we know. He saw as much of God as we do, but his whole life, he walked with God. Why? Because he believed in God. God was real to him. It wasn't, he believed in the unseen. That's why he sought after God. That's why he walked with God. He wasn't able to see him, but he believed he was there by because of that faith. And God took him. It was pleasing to God. He said, I want you to be with me forever. And so, you read that story about Enoch. I know, a very short story, but still pretty good story. You say, okay, so what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with my life? How do I find myself in that story? And I think this is a good one, because a lot of times when we read the stories, we end up saying, I see myself in that story in a negative sense. I shouldn't do what that person did. I shouldn't, you know, be jealous and kill my brother. I shouldn't do the bad thing. And this one, it's a positive one. We can look at this story and say, I should be like Enoch. I should live my life because of faith in God. I should live my life in such a way that I walk with God. I can walk. That's the big idea of this. I can walk with God. You can walk with God throughout our whole lives. We can walk with God throughout our whole lives and be known as people who walked with God, who knew God. We can know God as a dear, close
friend, as someone who is literally with us, who we feel his presence and we know him. We can walk with God in the same way that Enoch, after this life, was with God because he walked with him during this life. If we spend our lives walking with God, at the end of this life, we will be with God. It's the same thing that happened to him could happen to us, not being taken alive out of this life. That could happen, probably won't. But being with God for all of eternity, if we walk with God in this life, that is what our eternity will be like as well, just as it was with and is with Enoch. So you think about that. You say, okay, why would I walk with God during this life? Because there's so much other stuff that I need to get, and there's so much stuff I need to focus on, and there's so much that calls for my attention. Well, it's because, just like Enoch, and his life is a window into this, we're going to live forever. Everyone lives forever somewhere. We will live forever. We're not going to just exit this life. Enoch exited this life and lived with God forever. We will live forever. And when we exit this life and we stand before God, we can either see someone who we've known as a deep, dear, close friend, who every day we walked with, who we knew deeply and intimately, and then it's like, and then we see them in person. That can be our experience, much like I bet it was for Enoch. Or we can exit this life and stand face to face with God and know someone who we're basically meeting for the first time. And even if we've been religious, stand before someone who's a stranger to us, who we don't know, and that will be a terrorizing meeting. So in this life, we have the opportunity to live every day in God's presence, just like we will someday at the end of this life. So what should we do? Well, the application is very, very clear. It's just a straight line. We should be like Enoch. We should walk with God. We should do what he did. We should be like Enoch and walk with God. We should walk with God. And so you say, okay, so what does that mean, though? What does it mean to walk with God? I understand walking with another person. I understand the stuff that I could see and touch, and that's why Enoch, it says by faith Enoch did this. How do we walk with God? How do we walk with a person who we can't see? Well, that's a good question, and that's what makes today necessary, because we have to talk about, okay, how do I walk with God in the middle of my normal life? Walking with God, listen to this, it's something we become. I know that doesn't make sense like grammatically, but I struggled with how to say it. That's the best I could do. It's something that we become. It's not just a list of things that we go down. It's like, I do this, I have my devotions, I do this, I do this, I say a prayer before I go to sleep. Okay, I walked with God today. It's not a list of things we do. It's having a heart that loves God. It's having a desire to be close to him. It's wanting to know him. That's what walking with God is. It's something that we become. It's becoming people who desire to spend time with God. People who perish the thought would want to keep a television turned off for a few minutes and talk with God. And that's what it is. It's having a desire to be close to him. It's being people who want to know him. And while that's what it is, it's having this heart, it's having a desire. It's not just checking off a list of things. Walking with God is also doing some very specific things. There's some specific things that if we do them regularly and they're just part of our lives and part of what we do, we will be people who walk with God. And if we don't do these things, no matter how much we say, I want to walk with God, I want to be close with God, if I don't do these things regularly and they're not part of who I am and what I do, I won't walk with God. So what are some of those specific things? It's, you have to talk with God. That's what prayer is. It's not a formal, I'm going to, but you know, get in a certain posture, although that's good to get in that posture. Jesus said, kneel down in your closet. It's not bad to have, but it's not just a formal thing that I do before I eat, although it's good to pray before you eat. Prayer in itself is talking to God. It's having a conversation with someone who you can't see, which in and of itself requires faith, because that's so weird. You can't see them. You can't even put your phone up to your ear, you know, and hear their voice. It's, you're talking out into the air, and you're believing that there's a being who hears you, and That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. It's starting our day by talking to Him, and then throughout the day talking with Him, and having moments where we do go to our closet or our room and we close the door and we get on our knees and we talk to God. And then other moments when we're doing other stuff and we can't adopt any physical posture because we're busy working and doing stuff, but we talk to God in our minds. It's having conversations with God as we go through our day. That's walking with God. If you don't talk with God, I don't talk with God, I won't walk with God as I go through life. But the more that I talk with God as I go through life, the more that I'm walking with Him. It's another habit is listening to His voice. It's opening up this book and reading. This is the Word of God. It's breathed out by God. These are His words. And when we read this, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's what God's Spirit uses to get inside of us and let us hear God's voice and let Him apply it to our lives. It has one meaning with many applications. So every time I read, He tells me different things, not because the text is different, but because the application is different. And His Spirit works on me as I read this. God talks to me when I read this book. That's part of walking with God. If I don't read this regularly, all the time, I'm not walking with God. And the more that I read this, the more that I'm walking with God, the more I'm letting Him talk with me. It's spending time with Him. It's letting Him. So is it having morning devotionals? Yes. Is having morning devotionals mean that you are walking with God? Not necessarily. Maybe, maybe not. But without getting up in the morning and reading this, and then throughout the day finding time when I read this, and before I go to bed reading this, and again, not legalistically, but always wanting, having that heart that says, I want to be close to God, I want to walk with Him, reading His Word and listening to Him. It's listening to Him. And then it's fasting. It's spending time like everyone who's followed God has done throughout all the centuries. It's not eating to focus with intensity on praying and reading the Word and thinking about God and directing our thoughts to Him and walking with Him and spending time with Him. Can you walk with God without fasting? Yes. Does fasting help you on a regular basis, every week, every 10 days, every month, having a day or two when you don't eat, or a morning when you don't eat? Does that help you walk closer with God? Absolutely it does. Singing, and not just singing like when we're here together, although that's wonderful and special and beautiful, but singing throughout our days, throughout the week, when we're by ourselves, when we're in the car, when we have time, even in our hearts, I don't know what to pray, but there's the words from a song that I sang on Sunday, and it comes into my body. That's helping me talk to God and express what I feel, because singing is an emotional thing, and it ties not just our head, but it ties our hearts to God. It pulls us towards Him. Can you walk with God without singing? Maybe, but the Bible would show us by example that everyone who walked with God sang to Him. It's a part of being close to God. It's not, I got to go to church on Sunday to sing. We should, but it's I want to sing every day because I want to be close. I want to express my heart to the one that I'm walking with. And then as we pray to God and we read the Bible and we sing and we fast, it's also having a mind where we focus more on Him and we think about Him. We think about what we... So I read something this morning, and then throughout the day, do I reflect on that? Do I start thinking about it and mulling over it and then asking God questions in my mind like, how does that... What do you want me to do because of that? What do you want me to change? What are you trying to tell me? Talking with Him and listening. It's walking with Him. It's having an actual relationship with God. The problem is when we hear that, when we hear Enoch's story, and when we talk about it, I'm sure none of this is a surprise. So walking with God is praying and reading the Bible and fasting and singing, and I think I've heard that before, right? That's not a surprise to anyone. The problem is when we think about that, when we say, okay, that's what walking with God is, and that's what I should do, I should be like Enoch, that I immediately realize I don't do that as well as I should. This week has been a convicting week for me because I as I've been thinking about this, I don't do that the way I should. I don't walk with God as close as I should. I don't spend as much time with Him. I check off some boxes sometimes, and sometimes I genuinely spend time with Him, and many times I don't. I don't spend the time that I should with Him. Wouldn't it be difficult to say about most of us most of the time, that person walks with God? Not that person's a good Christian, but that person walks with God, like was said so boldly about Enoch. We don't walk with God the way we should. We forget
I forget. If I don't have something to remind me, I forget to read the Bible. I forget to pray. Life just happens, and it's like, oh, I didn't. Did I pray today? I asked my boys, when you read the Bible this morning, did you ask God what he was telling you? Because that's a way to listen to God when you're reading, isn't it? You stop reading, and you're done, and you say, okay, so what should I do? What am I supposed to do? What's the application for me? And then the other day, I was telling my boys that, asking them, and they were talking through what, you know, the answer to that question for what they had read that day. And then I realized, I didn't ask myself that question this morning. I read the Bible, and like the guy who looked in the mirror and walked away, I didn't say, what should I do? What should I change? We forget, and a lot of times it's easy to forget because there's always noise. There's always stuff. There's this. There's people to talk to and message and Facebook and what's up and texting and phone calls, and if there's nobody to talk to, there's YouTube. There's always stuff to like listen to, and then there's kids and there's spouses and there's people and then there's the big box that you turn on, and it just we can go through a day without thinking. Have you ever thought about, probably not. Have you ever thought about that? We can literally go through a day without thinking any kind of deep thought or even thinking about God and not even realize, because there's so much noise all around us and the stuff we have to do, and I want to read the Bible quick in the morning because I have to get to work and get my stuff done, and then more than that, we don't walk with God, because when we walk with God closely, he gets to talk to us and tell us what to do. And in my heart of hearts, I'm just like Adam. I want to be my own boss. I want to tell me what to do. I want to be the one who gets to tell me what to do. And the closer that I walk with God, the more that I let him out of the box that I have him in just when I go on Sundays, and then that's kind of it. Well, he gets to tell me what to do, and I don't like that. So it's really easy for me to let distractions in life sidetrack me to where I end up not really walking closely with him, because it's not in my own best interest, at least in my flesh, the way I think about things, for someone else to have that kind of access to me and tell me what to do. And on top of that, have you ever felt this? When you start getting closer to God and spending more time with him, you ever just feel waves of guilt come over you? Because the closer that I get to God, the more I spend time with him, the more I'm reminded of how bad I am and have been and currently am and will be, and I feel guilty. So like Adam and Eve, we hide from God. We don't walk with him the way that we should. We end the story of Enoch and say, I should be more like that. I'm not. I need someone to take me to God, because I, in myself, I don't walk with God the way Enoch does. And this is why it's so fulfilling then at the end to say, Jesus is the fulfillment of the story of Enoch, because you and I can't be like Enoch. We can't walk with God the way that we should. But many years after Enoch, another person came and lived on the earth, and he was the end of a line of a genealogy that was quoted in the New Testament, and he walked with God as well, just like Enoch did, except better. You could say he was the second Enoch. He was the second man that walked with God, except he walked with God better than Enoch did. He was the better Enoch, not just because he walked with God better than Enoch did, but because, well, Enoch was a man who walked with God, but because we are people who can't walk with God the way we should, God came and walked with us. And that's the beauty of Jesus' story when you put it up against Enoch's story, because Enoch was a man who walked with God and shows us the way we should walk with God. And then we say, I don't do that very well. I can't do that very well. And then Jesus was God who became a man and walked with us. God came to us because we could not walk with him the way we should. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came and walked with us. Isn't that the gospel? The gospel is that I should seek God, and I should be close to God, and I should go to God, but I can't. So God comes to me to take me to him. That's why Jesus is the better Enoch, because of his life and his cross and his resurrection, because of the spirit that he gives those who enter into him. He takes us to God. We can be close, intimate
friends of God. We can be dearly beloved children of God because Jesus, God in the flesh, came and walked with us. Look at John chapter 14. Look at verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's the negative part of that. Can't get to God without him, but then there's a positive with that. Through Jesus, we can know God. We can come to God. We can know what God is like. We can know his person. We can enter into his presence because of Jesus. Look down three verses in verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? We can know God because Jesus walked among us. God came to us. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they show us what God is like because God came to show us what God was like so that we could know him, so that we could walk with him, so that we could be taken to him. And then when you become a Christian, his Spirit enters into you and lives with you to connect you to God. God is with us. God came to walk with us, to take us to himself. So what should we do after we read the story of Enoch and we see Jesus? What's the application for us? I think the application is, well, if you're not a Christian, the application is to receive God, because you can walk with God. You can, right now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not in Christ, there's something that prevents you from being as close, and you feel it. There's something that keeps you from, as much as you want to be close to God, there's something that keeps you from being close to him, and there's like a barrier. It's your rebellion against him. It's the guilt that you carry with you. It will always stop you from being as close to your Creator as he wants you to be, to truly walk with him. But he came to seek you. He came to take you to his Father. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead, so that you could be close to God. And you become someone who can walk with God when you give yourself to him, when you decide to follow Jesus. When you repent and are baptized, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you become someone who can walk with God. And in this community, when you say, I'm ready to make that decision, tell someone. And the rest of your life can be as a person who can be said of you, I walked with God. That person walked with God. If you are a Christian, here's the question for you and I. How can you spend more time with God? How can you walk closer with God? How can you pray more? How can you talk with God more? How can you read your Bible more? How can you think about, how can you turn off some of the noise sometimes and put more thoughts to you and talking to God and asking him questions and thinking about what you read earlier? And could you fast regularly if you're not right now? How could you sing more? Like, take one of the songs that we sang today and then take that with you throughout the week. What are you going to do this week? What could you do this week to spend more time with God? That's the question for us as we look at Enoch, who walked with God. Why don't we stand? We'll pray and then we'll sing together. We thank you, God, for examples that you've put in your word of people who have walked with you. So that we can know in our lives that it's possible. We can walk with you. And thank you for Jesus who came so that you would walk with us and we could be taken to you and we could know you. So God, I pray that you would help us to be people, each one of us, people who, like Enoch, are known as people who walk with you. And that our deep relationship with you would color the rest of our lives and who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.